5, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are thankful for the opportunity to be here today. And we are thankful for the pretty weather outside. That's a blessing. Last week we taught on what we've been going through, talking about your health, and we were talking about sunshine and vitamin D and how important that is. So that's a good thing if you can get outside and enjoy some of this nice weather after the cold weekend. But anyway, you're not listening in for the weather, and we don't know that much about it. But it is good to be here and good to see Noah. How are you today, Noah?
I'm good, and it is good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We have been looking at a series entitled Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible, and we're going to continue on in that today. And we just thought we'd take a few weeks right here, the end of winter, the beginning of spring, talk about something just a little bit different. I've got a lot of thoughts, things I'm praying about for when we get done with this, and a lot of interesting things going on in the world that we're just trying to find the direction that the Lord wants us to go in the coming weeks. But for just a few more weeks, we're going to continue on talking about your health. We've had some good feedback, some good response along these lines. We always appreciate that. But we've said that the proposition here that I'm putting forth is that if you lose your health, you've lost your liberty. You become introverted, I guess we might say. I got to think about me. I got to think about what's going on. My desire is to live my life in such a way, be a good steward over my health, that I would be able to go, that I would be able to do, that I would be able to be a blessing, that I would be able to continue to minister and study God's word and preach and teach and that which the Lord has called me to do. Now, we cannot control a lot of times when sickness comes, but we can be a good steward over the health that we have. We have been talking, we began this study in Genesis chapter number 2, and we began in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 1, chapter number 2. We went through to begin with 7 foundations for healthy living. These 7 things we find in the Bible. We find pure air. These are essential for healthy living. Pure air, water, good food, sunshine. That's what we talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about exercise, what the Bible says about that. Then we're going to look at rest. The Lord instituted a day of rest. This is necessary. And then also, of course, in the Bible we find that God is, that we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And faith is a part of your health as well. But let's just look, beginning in Genesis chapter number 2, we're going to think today along the lines of exercise, what the Bible says, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, the dress it and keep it, Adam and Eve did not just hang around doing nothing, but God gave them a job to do. And the job, the responsibility that they had in the Garden of Eden was to dress it and to keep it. That means to work in it, to guard. The word keep there means to guard, to look over. And this was in a perfect environment that they were told to do this. Adam and Eve, in a perfect environment, had work to do. Now, I want to point out some things about this work that they had to do in the garden, to dress it and to keep it. It was so vigorous and taxing that they were going to need a day of rest. Now, if you go back to the beginning of chapter number 2, and I'm not going to read all of this, but in verses 1 through 3, we see where the Sabbath day was instituted. And we find there that on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Now, God did not rest on the seventh day because he was tired, but God rested on the seventh day for an example for man, that he would have a day of rest. And verse 3 said, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And of course, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that later on the Sabbath day was to be a day of rest. And so this was instituted before the fall, before sin ever came into the world. God ordained it. He made it that there would be a day of rest, and that Adam and Eve would work to such an extent that they would need and welcome a day of rest. That work that they were to do produced sweat. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. We find this is the Lord talking to Adam and Eve. Now, that was after the fall, but part of the implications, part of the results was that they were going to sweat. They were going to get their bread out of the earth. And in doing that, they were going to sweat. That's not a very pleasant thing to talk about on the radio. It's something that people avoid talking about. You know, they avoid it. We wouldn't want anybody to think that we were sweating. And so there's millions of dollar industry, maybe even more than that, designed to cover up and hide the fact that we sweat. Antiperspirant, you know, but it's still a fact of life. We all sweat, and that is something that has been since the very beginning. Now, for the first 6,000 years of history, work was basically unchanged. And what I mean by that, it was the same. Farming, building, cooking, washing clothes, dealing with animals, walking everywhere that you went, or preparing a horse or a wagon to get ready to go somewhere, lifting things, carrying things for thousands and thousands of years. This is how man lived upon the earth. And I would say that it would be safe to say that 90%+ of everybody was included in manual labor. It wouldn't matter if you were young or old or rich or poor, if you lived in the East, if you lived in the West, if you lived in the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, if you lived in a city, if you lived in a country, for thousands and thousands of years, man had to work, and he had to work hard to just survive, to just exist. But you look at our modern society, especially here in America, how we live compared to the way our parents lived, how we live compared to the way our grandparents were raised versus how we are raised today. We talked last week about how we live much of our lives inside. Children spend a great amount of time inside, sitting behind a desk, not moving, not exercising, not sweating. Nobody has to go to the barn anymore before school and milk a cow, or go out in the evening and find livestock and bring it in. I mean, it's a rare thing to find somebody that lives that type of life. But once upon a time, everybody was involved in this sweating, this working. There was just exercise involved in living life. I really think today, in this day and time, I wonder how many people could go actually all week long and never break a sweat, never do anything to exert themselves to the point that they would actually break a sweat. Now, God told Adam and Eve, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. God was telling Adam and Eve, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to work hard to eat, and in your working hard to eat, you're going to have to grow it, you're going to have to reap it, you're going to have to put it up, you're going to have to process it, you're going to have to store it, you're going to have to prepare it, you're going to have to bake it, you're going to have to make it, and you're going to eat it, and then you're going to have to continue to do that. You're going to have to go out and do it all over again and again and again. This is how life is going to be. But, you know, for many of us, that is not how life is. We can stop by the grocery store on the way home, load up enough groceries for all week. If we're really wise about how we manage things, we could get enough for 2 weeks or even a month and bring it all home and carry it in the house a little bit at a time and put it up and never break a sweat. Never be. And a lot of people don't even go to that. You know, they just drive through in the car, order up what they want. It gets handed to them. They go, you know, very little of breaking sweat in order to get our bread. If you just take a snapshot of our nation and just look, I'm talking about our nation as a whole. I know there's a lot of people that exercise. I know there's a lot of people that would be considered to be healthy and in good shape. But if you just look at America as a whole, look at our nation, we are probably sicker than we've ever been before. I mean, everybody you meet's going to the doctor, been to the doctor. They're going to the pharmacist to get some pills filled to take on. I mean, it's just everywhere. I believe we're sicker as a nation than we've ever been before. I believe we're slower as a nation. We are definitely more obese as a nation than we've ever been before, and we've been a long time going down that road. If you ever get a chance to go to another country, you will, I mean, go out of America to Europe, go to Africa, go to the Philippines, somewhere like that. The first thing you will notice is that, wow, people are not as big here as they are in America. In America, we're huge as a people, and it's because of our lifestyles. We are more obese. We're less active than we've ever been before. We're less active than our parents were just a generation ago. Lots of studies have been done along these lines. The American Heart Association came out with a research analysis in the fall of 2013, and this research had went over years and years, I think about 30 years, and they had analyzed millions of children worldwide, and what they found out, the American Heart Association, what they showed in this study is that young people today, we're talking about in 2013 as of the publication of this study, that young people were 15% less fit than children were 30 years ago. One statement out of that research, a Mr. Cass, he said, "We are currently facing the most sedentary generation of children in our history." I've mentioned this here on the radio before, but I've heard a news report one day, and it was talking about in the future, if something does not change in America, there will be whole hospitals and care centers that are dedicated to nothing more than treating diabetes and heart disease. And it is simply because of our sedentary lifestyle. God did not create us to be sedentary. What I mean by that, God did not create us to sit around and do nothing. Hard work. I've heard this many times over the years and growing up. Hard work never killed anybody. Hard work, exertion will not kill you. Now, I know somebody will come along and say, well, so-and-so was out working, and yeah, I know what you mean. But overall, what I'm saying, hard work, exertion, sweat won't kill you. But sitting around, sitting down all day long is one of the most unhealthy things that you can do. And that goes for young people. Look at all the youth that are afflicted with all kinds of different diseases and health problems. Look at our older people. Now, I want to say just a little bit about exercise in the Bible. The word exercise in the Bible is found 11 times. 10 times has nothing to do with physical exercise. It is non-physical. So we're just looking at what the Bible says and going to bring out just a few things in the time we have remaining. Now, 10 times it is non-physical. I'll give you just a couple of examples. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. The Bible says, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. That is a good verse, got a good message, but it has nothing to do with physical exercise. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. That has nothing to do with physical exercise. Now, if you mention diet, health, fitness among God's people, I'm talking about people that know the Bible and read the Bible. I've heard this many times. Well, preacher, don't you know what the Bible says? Bodily exercise profiteth little. You know what? The Bible does say that. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. I'm going to go over here. This is the only reference to bodily exercise in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. Now, I'm going to read verse 7 and verse number 8 together to get the context of this verse and sort of explain, take just a moment to explain what it is actually talking about. A lot of people know that little phrase, bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, shouldn't exercise. That's not what it says. I've heard it used that way, but that is not what it says. Here's what the Bible says. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy's a young preacher. Paul's an apostle. He said in verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now the context of these verses is by way of comparison. Paul is comparing a life with exercise, physical exercise, and a life of spiritual exercise, the way you live your life spiritually. And so he says, godliness, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I've noticed in my reading over the years, and I have been interested in diet, health, what the Bible says. I've not always practiced what I've preached, but I've been interested in it for years and years. I'm going to say 15, 17 years, somewhere around in there. I've been studying this, and when I see it in the Bible or when I read an old book, and I'm especially, I have noticed over the years that older writers, preachers, Bible teachers, old commentaries, they had more to say about health than you would think that they would. They were interested in it. Jonathan Edwards, one of the most well-known preachers in all of America. He is the preacher that preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And you trace the Great Awakening back to his church and the move of God. And young people even learn about that message in Jonathan Edwards in literature class. And he was just a great individual. He took care of himself. He was always in frail health his whole adult life, but he paid particular attention to his health. He tried to take care of himself. He studied generally about 12 hours every day, but he would usually take time to go out and chop wood and go for a ride on a horse. That was his exercise. He watched his diet, but most of all, he walked with God. He realized that his physical health had an impact on his spiritual health and how important that is. Now, what does the Bible say here? It's comparing the two, and that is the message from Paul to Timothy. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It does not say there is no profit in bodily exercise. It says it profiteth little. There's a little advantage. We ought to be interested in that, in being good stewards. I've quoted before, I have one of my aunts, which I have several in my family. She said many, many times to me, I'd rather go to the wellness center than take a pill. She wouldn't mind me telling that. And she's been exercising in years and years. She's a cancer survivor, and she's very dedicated to that. That is very, very important. I'd rather exercise than take a pill. Hey, it's going to be one or the other. Well, It does not say there's no profit. It says it profiteth little. What is exercise anyway? Exercise, if we look up the definition of exercise, it means this. In the old Webster's Dictionary, the 1828, which I use almost exclusively, the word exercise, in a general sense, any kind of work, labor, or exertion of body. Once upon a time, exercise was associated with work. Well, today, exercise is associated with running, jogging, lifting weights, doing some kind of specialized class. And the reason that it is so popular is because people no longer exercise in their work. My grandparents, I guarantee you, now, somebody goes to the gym today, they might work out an hour. Our grandparents worked from dawn till dusk, and they worked hard. They got plenty of exercise. They didn't have to go to a gym. They didn't have to play ball. They were wore out by the end of the day. They got plenty of exercise. It is labor, any kind of work, exertion of body, another definition for exercise. Exertion of the body as conducive to health. Now, that's from an 1828 dictionary. Exertion of the body as conducive to health, action, motion, by labor, walking, riding, or other exertion. And then I love this about the old dictionary. It usually has either a scripture or it'll have a saying or a poetry quotation. It'll give an example. And it had this example in it. The wise for cure on exercise depend. Now, that was before the American Heart Association or the American Association of Medical Doctors or anybody else said, hey, exercise is good for you. In the late 1800s, there was a saying, the wise for cure on exercise depend. If there were such a thing as a miracle drug, exercise would be it. If there were such a thing as a fountain of youth, exercise would be it. To make our living, to have the sweat of our brow up on us from day to day is good for you. Nobody goes to the doctor with an illness and he says, whatever you do, don't exercise. I'm not talking about having a broken arm or ACL or having the flu or on the point of a heart attack or something like that, but most of the time, if you go to the doctor with an ailment, and you could just think about anything, diabetes, heart disease. You know, have you ever thought about this? Somebody goes to the doctor, they rush them down to Winston or Charlotte, and they do a heart procedure of some kind on them. They don't send them home and say, now you sit in the chair and take it easy and you know, don't know. What do? They put them in rehab. And they try to get them to start exercising. And they say, you need to lose some weight. You need to get some blood pumping. You need to build some muscle. You need to do this. Heart disease, high blood pressure, arthritis. Exercise helps arthritis. Cancer even. I found this article, January of 2014. Cancer patients who exercise could have their risk of death. And it gave example after example how that people who had cancer and started exercising actually benefited greatly from that and cut in half their risk of dying from cancer. I've read other articles about using exercise. I found one how that it helped with Crohn's disease. I've read articles how that exercise would help people that had MS, muscular sclerosis, and things like that. If you go down to the nursing home, you go down to the hospitals, what are they doing? They're trying to get people in rehab. They're trying to get them better, back on their feet. How do they do that? They get them to exercise. The human body is an amazing thing. David said in Psalms 139, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you find you do not find the attitude, well, just send them to the nursing home and, you know, there's nothing else we can do for them. No, many times they can go to rehab, rehabilitation. I've known many people through the years that have went to the nursing home and they got them to start starting to exercise and walk, and the body is an amazing thing, because no matter how old you are never too old that you cannot build muscle, that you cannot gain strength. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, I realize we're all going to die. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready for that day. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die. And after this, the judgment. We're not talking about not dying, but we're talking about living as long as we live. We want to be a good steward over our health. God created us to move and to exercise and to sweat. And I'm telling you today, it is a good thing. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11, one of the most interesting verses in the Bible. And this is a medically true statement. The Bible is not a medical book, but if it says anything medically, it is correct. It's not a history book, but if it says anything on a point of history, it's historically correct. If it says anything on science, it is scientifically correct. But the Bible says this in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your blood is very, very important to the life of your flesh. And if you just think about that a moment in our closing comments, that's real simple. What does exercise do? What does exertion, what does hard work do? It moves life, it moves blood through our bodies. In your blood is oxygen. And as we get up and move and exert and work and sweat and all of these things, there's many, many things that are going on as the blood is pumped through our body. Your heart rate goes up. Breathing harder actually flushes out your system. Sweating gets poison out of your body, gets impurities out of your body. It oxygenates as you breathe deeper. It oxygenates your blood. It makes your blood healthier, which is good for you. It improves your circulation. It builds your muscles. It reduces stress. It gets your lymph system pumping out toxins and things that need to be pushed out of your body. So, you know, a lot of people call it what you want to call it. Call it work. Call it exercise, call it exertion, whatever. But without it, with just inactivity, and I've read several articles along the lines of one of the worst things you can do is sit all day long. It kills you. It is an invitation to invite disease into your body. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your situation is. You can always do something. You'll feel better. And I see so much sickness, and it is especially sad when it could be prevented, when it could be postponed. But inactivity invites disease. As we are inactive, our body withers away. Atrophy happens, which is our muscles getting smaller and smaller. And then we come to the place, we say, well, I'm old, I hurt, I can't do that anymore. That's a sad place to get to. I don't want to get there. If I can help it, well, we ought to be a good steward of what God has given unto us. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast today. Thank you for listening in. Noah's going to come give the contact information in just a moment. But we just hope you have a great day, and we thank the Lord for this opportunity. I hope you get something out of it. Maybe it'll encourage you to do something different in your life, be a better steward over the blessing of health that God has given unto us. Have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.